Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We have plenty of time to field your questions about medicine, about health, about nutrition. Our number is 888-302-3684. We invite your calls anytime this hour or next. And it's been kind of a busy news week on the health front, a little bit overshadowed by all that Super Bowl hype. We'll weigh in probably an hour or two with some comments about the Super Bowl from the standpoint of its health ramifications. Also, this week in the news, the Zika virus and what are the public health ramifications of Zika? Could it be coming to a poolside near you? Well, according to the World Health Organization, it is a big concern. And we're going to take a look at what the consequences might be to you this spring and summer season. 888-302-3684. Also, the Flint tragedy. You know, we talk a lot about heavy metal toxicity on this program, and the Flint tragedy really illustrates what can happen when public officials are asleep at the switch. But is it an isolated incident, or do we have pervasive problems with the quality of our water, thus putting our health at risk? We'll examine that story later on this hour or next. 888-302-3684. Please call us. And we'll start the program by sharing with you this item from the medical journal Pediatrics. And indeed, it shows that a high-fiber diet is beneficial when it comes to breast cancer risk. And why is it in the medical journal Pediatrics? Well, Pediatrics is about kids. So this means it starts with kids. Your intake, if you're a woman, of high-fiber foods during adolescence and young adulthood may have an important impact on your risk of breast cancer as an adult later in life. And I think by inference, although the study didn't look at men, I would say that this might have an impact on men's risk of another hormonal cancer, which is prostate cancer. So here's the study. You think there are enough women in this study? 90,534 women participated in the Nurses' Health Study. And it ran for a long period of time. In 1991, the women ages 27 to 44 filled out questionnaires about their food intake, and they did so every 4 years after that. And what they found was that breast cancer risk was 12 to 19% lower among women who ate more dietary fiber in early adulthood, depending on how much more they ate. So it was a, what they call in science, a dose-response relationship. The more you ate, the better it was. High intake of fiber during adolescence was also associated with a 16% lower risk of overall breast cancer and a 24% lower risk of breast cancer before menopause. So big difference. For each additional 10 grams of fiber intake daily, and to give you an example of what that entails, that would be about one apple or just two slices of whole grain bread or about a half a cup each of cooked kidney beans or cooked cauliflower or squash. For each additional 10 grams, just one serving, have an apple a day. Keeps the breast surgeon away. That's pretty good. Or a cup of kidney beans or a cup of cooked cauliflower or squash. Just the addition of that alone reduced breast cancer risk by a whopping 13%. And grains weren't as effective as fruits and vegetables. So those were particularly up. So what's going on there? Well, number one, fiber helps you move your bowels. And constipation is a risk factor for hormonal cancers because that's the way that the body gets rid of excess estrogen. Excess estrogen may stimulate cancers to develop. Toxins from the gastrointestinal tract may increase the risk of inflammation in the body. But also, all that fiber, we're not just talking Metamucil here or sawdust-like fiber that is artificially added to foods or that you take as a supplement. We're talking about fiber bound with beneficial plant substances like plant lignans from flaxseed, which actually have a blunting effect on hormone receptors that may protect breast tissue from excessive hormonal stimulation. And that may be one of the mechanisms by which fiber confers protection on women and probably, by inference, on men. So make sure you have those salads. Make sure you have your cooked squash, your cauliflower, your fresh fruit. All of that can help prevent cancer in the future. All right, this item, you're not going to hear a... Folks, this is one of the reasons why you listen to Intelligent Medicine, because you are just not going to hear this story on mainstream media. This is pretty weird. Headline: are people suffering as a result of ultrasound in the air? Ultrasound? Well, ultrasound, yeah, okay. We get ultrasounds sometimes to check our livers. Pregnant women get ultrasounds to check on the status of the baby. But did you know that we are being exposed, without our knowledge, continuously to airborne ultrasound? Where does it occur? In railway stations, museums, libraries, schools, sports stadiums. And what can it cause? Well, have you been suffering from unexplained nausea, dizziness, migraines, fatigue, or ringing in the ears? Well, not all of it may be attributable to invisible ultrasound that you're exposed to unawares, because there's no public disclosure that where you're standing is in the range of powerful ultrasound waves. But new research from the University of Southampton indicates the public is being exposed, without its knowledge, to airborne ultrasound. Where does it come from? What's the technology? Well, loudspeakers use it. Door sensors use it. Public address systems use it. And previous studies have shown that workers who were exposed to occupational ultrasound through various industrial devices used for cleaning or drilling, that you actually can clean things off with ultrasound waves, they've reported similar effects from exposure to ultrasound. So at University of Southampton, they have something kind of unique. An Institute of Sound and Vibration Research. This is in England. They say that existing guidelines are insufficient for such large public exposures, as the vast majority refer to occupational exposure. So they say, well, if you're a worker, okay, yeah, maybe, because you're going to be exposed to ultrasound. But in a public place, the guidelines are absent. So, yeah. This is a potential problem. Guidelines are suggested that more studies be done. The guidelines for occupational exposure must be devised for homes, for offices, for public places, for public transportation systems. And more research needs to be undertaken to see what long-term or profound effects all this ultrasound may have on our hearing, on our brains, on our balance, on our moods, because it's the opposite of good vibrations. These vibrations may create problems for many individuals. I mean, I never even thought of this. I mean, yeah, okay, chemicals in the air, electromagnetic radiation because of servers and because of all the radio waves that are floating around, all the folks who have Wi-Fi is we're constantly being bombarded by Wi-Fi. This is a different type of wavelength. Ultrasound radiation is pervasive in many modern environments. All right, 888-302-3684. That's our number. We invite your phone calls. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System, a complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh.
Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you, and we invite your calls. 888-302-3684. That's our number. You can call us anytime you like. Or, hey, if you decide not to call us this hour, maybe it's inconvenient, you don't feel like calling, you're doing something else, you're in a car, you can email us your question to radioprogram@AOL.com, and we'll answer your question on the air during one of our weekly podcasts. We have a feature called Q&A with Layla, wherein we field your questions that are sent to us via email. And it's one of the most popular podcasts on a weekly basis. We get a lot of hits, a lot of people following that. And you never know what questions are going to be asked, and it may pertain to you. All right, so there's a lot of controversy about fish consumption. There are some people these days who say don't consume fish at all because it's so polluted that the benefits of the omega-3 fatty acids in fish are outweighed by the potential for exposure to mercury and PCBs and other harmful substances, because especially certain fish are bioaccumulators. They accumulate all the toxins that are in the oceans. Now, I'd maintain that it seems that the oceans are really polluted, and they are to some extent. And yeah, we had the Fukushima disaster in Japan, and there was a plume of radiation that moved across the Pacific, but the oceans are really big. There's a lot more water mass than there is land mass, and land mass is pretty significant. Have you ever flown across the United States or across major parts of Europe or Asia? It's just endless. Well, the oceans, they're pretty big. So a recent study in the February 2nd issue of the Journal of the American Medical Association tackled that question. Is eating fish a net benefit for the brain, or could the mercury in the fish actually counteract the benefits of the omega-3 fatty acids in the fish? Study was done at Rush University Medical Center. It's the first report on the relationship of brain concentrations of mercury to what is called brain neuropathology, fancy word for brain damage, and diseases associated with dementia. So here's what they found. Even though mercury levels in the brain did increase with seafood consumption, the researchers found that the increase in mercury levels weren't associated with increased brain neuropathologies. So that's reassuring. Rather, they found that seafood consumption was associated with less Alzheimer's disease neuropathology, even though there was increased mercury levels. Now, here's the catch. There are some studies that say fish oil doesn't help the brain. That came out recently. Fish oil, not a big deal. Doesn't really protect the brain from dementia. Well, here's the reason why, possibly, is that only certain individuals with a genetic trait called APOE4. APOE4 is a bad gene to have because it dramatically increases your risk of developing Alzheimer's disease, also somewhat increases your risk of stroke and heart attack. But folks with APOE4 obtain substantial protection from Alzheimer's disease via consumption of fish oil. Particularly in this study, they consume not capsules, but they consumed more fish. So, interesting study. They They did look at consumption of fish oil supplements vis-a-vis the brain, but they say that they couldn't really draw any conclusions because there was a very low frequency of fish oil supplement use in the study population. So it really wasn't valid. They said, well, there wasn't much of a difference, but maybe people, not many people did consume the fish oil, and there wasn't really a big difference. So the research now suggests that eating fish is good for you and can be beneficial in terms of protection against Alzheimer's disease. All right, here's a tip that will, very simple way. You want a simple way of cutting calories? No exercise, no sweat, just like those commercials. No sweaty exercises, no pills, no medications, no crash diets. You ready for this one? Simple way of making sure that you don't over-snack. According to this research done at Cornell University, cluttered and chaotic environments can cause stress, which can lead us to grab more of the indulgent snacks, twice as many cookies, according to this new study. Researchers did an experiment. When stressed out, females were asked to wait for another person in a messy kitchen. Newspapers on the table, dishes in the sink, and the phone ringing. Guess what? They ate twice as many cookies compared to women in the same kitchen when it was organized and quiet. In total, they ate 65 more calories more in 10 minutes' time. Suggestion is, being in a chaotic environment and feeling out of control is bad for diets. I guess it leads some people to think everything else is out of control, so why shouldn't I be? So neat and tidy can help you avoid the temptation to stuff yourself with excess calories. Interesting study. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 888-302-3684 is our number. We're awaiting your phone calls. We'd like you to participate in today's edition of Intelligent Medicine.
Are you waking up each day to the life you have to live or to the life you want to live? Better health shouldn't be left to chance. Smart choices to living longer and stronger include making Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract a part of your daily routine. For years, medical researchers have recommended adding Kyolic to the diet as a powerful tool to enhancing overall heart and immune health. Recent clinical studies at UCLA Medical Center using Kyolic suggest that garlic may slow plaque formation in the arteries and support healthy cholesterol and homocysteine levels. Previous research also shows Kyolic may enhance your immune system defenses. Kyolic is organic, odorless, and the only antioxidant garlic supplement available worldwide. Maintaining a healthier you could extend your life. Your wellness begins with Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract, available everywhere fine nutritional supplements are sold. Visit Kyolic.com, that's Kyolic.com, or call 1-800-421-2998 for a free sample today.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you on this holiday week, and a very happy new year to you all. 888-302-3684 if you want to get in on the conversation. And we've got Carol from Manhattan on the line. Carol, you're literally probably a stone's throw from this very studio where we broadcast from.
Oh, where are you? Downtown?
I'm in Midtown.
Midtown.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, too bad you're not right here. Because I love listening to your show.
Thank
and
you
are my expert on all sorts of medical issues, because I don't think anyone knows as much as you do about all medical things. It's just astounding.
Well, that's very, very encouraging, thank you. But I learned at the Columbia School of Broadcasting, actually.
Oh. And the computer, too, right?
That's right.
I mean, I think that's what we all learn these days.
Right. It boosts my IQ by at least 30 points.
This is about my daughter, 35 years old, and she can't tolerate the cold.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's fatigued, and I can give you other symptoms and so forth. But, you know, I think that she might have a thyroid problem. She's had the regular TSH test, and the doctors say it's normal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, is there some sort of a test that she could take that might show that she has a thyroid problem?
Well, here's the thing. You know, there are more tests, and you can sort of slice and dice the testing for thyroid. You can test for not just TSH and T4, which is customarily what conventional endocrinologists and mainstream doctors look for, but you can also look at the free T3. You can look at reverse T3. You can do a TRH stimulation test. But at the end of the day, I think that hypothyroidism is a clinical diagnosis. We set up these arbitrary limits for what is normal. And these limits don't necessarily tell you what exactly is going on in your body, in your cells, deep within your body. It's about the amount of thyroid hormone that's circulating in the bloodstream is sort of mirrors a little bit your optimal thyroid function. But I wish I had a buck for every patient that I put on thyroid in my career of 30 years who had normal or borderline TFTs, that's thyroid function tests, and benefited enormously from being on natural thyroid. And we, many of these patients I monitor to this day, you know, 15, 20 years down the line, and their lives have been transformed, and they've done very, very well. So, you know, while one of the things that integrative doctors, holistic doctors do all too commonly is they blame everything on thyroid and they give patients massive amounts of thyroid. And I've seen patients get in trouble because they've been overdosed on thyroid and their problems lay elsewhere. But it's worth considering, and it's certainly suggestive that she has a thyroid issue and she needs to be looked at by an integrative physician who takes, shall we say, a little more creative view of what's going on in the thyroid department, in the endocrine department. You know, that's about as much as I can say at this point. I mean, we'd have to look at numbers. We'd have to do maybe a trial of therapy, see if the patient improves. You mean other symptoms that she might have, heavy periods, PMS, depression.
She did have hemorrhoids, not hemorrhoids. I mean,
Hemorrhaging.
No, yeah, what do you call it? In the area where she bled from her periods.
Right, very heavy periods is also a sign of low thyroid, and it can PMS, very severe PMS.
Is that a symptom of low thyroid?
It can be. It's very, very severe PMS is often alleviated by correct thyroid supplementation. So, you know, that's certainly something that could be the case. Okay, Marjorie, welcome to Intelligent Medicine. How are you doing today?
Hi, ditto on all the wonderful things Carol just said about you. I hope this question isn't too esoteric, but I ran across something the other day about telomeres, and I know they're on the ends, I think, of our DNA or something.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
The longer, well, I'm going to be 81 in March, so I'm assuming I have long telomeres. But is there anything one can do to make them even better, take better care of them, or change them in any way?
Yeah, this great question, Marjorie, and this is the holy grail of anti-aging research. Telomeres, it's spelled T-E-L-O-M-E-R-E-S, telomeres, are like the little caplets at the end of your shoelaces, you know, that keep your shoelaces basically from fraying and unraveling. They do the same thing on your chromosomes that are a long series of accumulations of DNA, and there are 46 paired chromosomes in the body. And so the idea is that if they're short, there's a certain number of cell replications that you have until it's game over. You know, we're sort of programmed for senescence and death. And many cells have the ability to multiply again and again and again and again, like skin cells. They're constantly repairing, and hair cells, and, you know, but other cells don't have that capacity. And the telomeres actually have something to say about how many replications the cells can have. And so the longer your telomeres, the more your chromosomes are protected from breakdown and degradation, and I guess you could say fraying, you know, like a shoelace that has lost its little caplet at the end. So what are some of the ways that you can enhance the length of your telomeres? Well, it turns out that one of the ways, and it's kind of a not fun way, is to eat a calorically deficient diet. You reduce your overall caloric intake by about 40%, and you'll live longer. This has been shown in animal studies. Humans have a hard time doing this because it involves a lot of deprivation. And there are actually some people who are in something called the CR Society, the Calorie Restriction Society, and they're trying to prove a point. And they may live longer, but I'm sure it's going to seem a heck of a lot longer.
How about the diet you just went on, about 30? something?
Oh, yeah. I can talk a little bit about the diet maybe later on in the program. But a Whole30 diet is not necessarily a calorically restricted diet. It's a diet that's more of a natural diet. It's very, very rich in nutrients. It's relatively low in carbohydrates. And I think that's a good diet. But it's not a calorically restricted diet. Although I have to say that it kind of curbs your appetite. You may be ending up eating less if you're an overeater. But the other thing is that oxidative stress damages the telomeres. So anything you can do to boost your intake of antioxidants, and the classic ones are the mixed carotenoids, not just beta carotene, but lycopene and cryptoxanthin, all those. C, E, those are the classic ones, zinc, selenium on the mineral side. But then there are also the plant antioxidants, things like, EGCG from green tea. These are extraordinarily beneficial for protecting telomeres. There's a product that is being marketed that purports to be a concoction that helps protect the telomeres. It's called TA65. It's very expensive. It's being sold through some doctors. I haven't opted to sell it because I think it's kind of half-baked. I'm not sure that the proof is there to demonstrate that it's that efficacious. I don't think that's really been worked out. I'm sure that this is an object of great research by major pharmaceutical companies because, hey, man, if they could sell a pill that lengthens your telomeres, that would really fly off the shelves, right?
Yeah.
Resveratrol probably has that effect as well. There's some evidence that resveratrol may be effective. And also there's some suggestion that, exercise may have an impact on telomere length. And of course, some of this is genetically determined. Some people just have the luck of the draw and they are endowed with more robust, long, healthy, telomeres that don't break down and protect the chromosomes from unraveling. So, there you have it. And, guess what? You gave me an idea for a great article to write in our newsletter. So thank you very much, Marjorie.
Good.
So, let me do a little research, and I'll really drill down. I'll look at all the research that suggests that this or that or the other thing can have an impact on telomere length. Because this is a great subject. There's a lot of research on the subject of telomeres. So thanks for offering that question. 888-302-3684 is our number. Here's an interesting item that, I got a young baby in the family now. And, whenever I go to the house, I'm very, I sometimes hang out with the kid, play with the kid. And whenever I go to the house, I'm always very careful because I get off the subway, I get in the house, and I go in the bathroom. And I make sure to wash my hands because I just don't want the crud from outside. Holding onto the pole in the subway. I just don't want those germs to affect this young, vulnerable child. But here's an item that gives me pause because I noticed the last time I was there, there's antibacterial soap in there. And antibacterial soap is likely to contain, among its ingredients, triclosan. It's one of the most popular antibacterial compounds around. And here's a concern. Triclosan may penetrate the skin and enter the bloodstream more easily than previously thought. And it's turned up everywhere from aquatic environments, the water that we drink, to human breast milk in troubling quantities. There's so much triclosan in the environment. It was developed in the 1960s to prevent bacterial infections in hospitals, and now it's been marketed in everything from hand soaps, toothpaste, to mouthwashes. Manufacturers think it promotes consumer confidence because it kills all the harmful bacteria, and even kitchen utensils, toys, and bedding may include triclosan. But there's a new paper, very disconcerting, in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, that suggests that triclosan impairs muscle function in both animals and humans. Research done at University of California, Davis, it found that the chemical hinders muscle contractions at the cellular level and inhibits normal muscle functioning in both fish and mice. So what they did in one part of the study, they took human muscle cells, both in the heart and typical skeletal muscles, they exposed them to concentrations of triclosan similar to what our bodies might experience in everyday life. And what they found was that there was disrupted communication between actin and myosin, two proteins crucial for proper muscle functioning, causing failure in both the heart and skeletal muscle cells. That is very, very disturbing. In mice, heart muscle function was reduced by as much as 25% after exposure to a single dose of triclosan. Grip strength was reduced by as much as 18%. That is not good. The researchers say the effects of triclosan on cardiac function were really dramatic. So there's another aspect to that, is when you kill all the germs, well, you can't kill all the germs, you may create triclosan-resistant germs that are harder to kill. Also, we may be eradicating the beneficial bacteria that live on our skin, that ultimately may enter our gastrointestinal tract. We may disrupt our mouth flora or even the microbiome in our intestine by inadvertently consuming triclosan. So I'm going to weigh in with those particular parents suggesting that they use ordinary soap, because the FDA has declared there's no evidence that using antibacterial soaps with triclosan confer any more health benefits than simply washing with conventional soap and water. And the agency is currently conducting a risk assessment for the chemical. So check out your soaps, moms, dads, grandparents, and maybe, just maybe, you might want to rethink it. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 888-302-3684 is our number. Wait your phone calls here on Intelligent Medicine.
Got glutathione? Probably not as much as you once had. As we age, our glutathione levels drop dramatically, and that is a very big deal. Why? Because glutathione is your body's master antioxidant. It is unique in its ability to repair and rebuild cellular damage caused by free radicals, exposure to environmental toxins, and the aging process. The less glutathione in your body, the more vulnerable you are to health issues. Backed by 20 years of published research, RegActive contains ME3, a patented probiotic proven to naturally stimulate the body's own production of glutathione. RegActive is brought to you by Essential Formulas, renowned for introducing award-winning Dr. O'Hara's probiotics 15 years ago, and meets the criteria of the same high standards and trusted time-proven results. Revolutionary. Remarkable. RegActive. Look for RegActive at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide where Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are sold.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you, as we are each weekend at this time. And Susan, welcome to Intelligent Medicine. How are you?
Oh, thank you, Dr. Hoffman, for taking my call. Long-time
sure.
listener.
Oh, great.
Listen, I just wanted to ask you something, because my daughter wants to have another baby,
yep.
and she has the MTHFR gene.
Okay.
And she has several amalgam fillings that she wants to take out before she has another child.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not really sure the safest way to do it. I mean, yep. you know, she would go to a specialist that would take them out yep. the safe way. But yep. I'm kind of torn between maybe she should wait until yep. after she has the child. Because I don't know how much mercury is going to be released in the body.
That's a good point. That's a good point. You know, so this is always a dilemma, because I do a lot of preconceptual planning. You know, in preconceptual planning, we make sure that, you know, for example, we'll test for the MTHFR gene polymorphism. I'm not even going to call it a mutation, because that makes it sound like it's something really awful. And really, about a third of people have some form of MTHFR variation from the normal, which means that there may be a higher requirement for folate. Folate's good generally in pregnancy, but particularly for individuals who have the MTHFR, they need not so much folic acid as in the past, but folate, which is the more natural form of that vitamin, to overcome some methylation obstacles that you can have if you have that MTHFR. Now, there are two ways to have MTHFR. You can have one, which is common, but you can have a double hit, which is more concerning and can lead to a lot of problems, cardiovascular risk, the potential for birth defects. A very high percentage of autistic children, like 90%, have one or another MTHFR variation. I'm not saying that's the cause, but and the relationship to mercury is that if you have methylation problems, it's a little harder to detox your body. So she has one child already, right? And the child is fine? Yes? No?
No, No, but we're not really sure exactly where he is, but we think he might be on the spectrum somewhere.
Yeah, okay, so that is a concern, and, you know, so what we really want to do is optimize this pregnancy. So,
right.
Yeah, this is a controversial issue because, as you state, removing mercury, you know, it's there. It may be slowly outgassing and releasing minute amounts of mercury into the system over time. But taking it out right before you contemplate conception could make things worse because it's kind of like stirring up a hornet's nest, or more precisely, you know, when you do asbestos abatement. You know, there are buildings where there's tons of asbestos, and that's not good, and eventually it has to be taken care of. But the worst aspect of it is when you find it and you remove it, you have to have it very expertly taken out, because otherwise you'll disperse it throughout the building, and, of course, the workers will be at risk too. So they got to wear, like, moon suits, and, you know, it's done very carefully. So the same thing applies to mercury, is that in releasing it, in taking it out, it's very hard to prevent even, you know, small amounts from being dispersed into the system, and then it's harder to get that out. It takes time. So ideally, if you want to do this, you know, maybe you do your mercury removal a couple of years before you contemplate pregnancy, and which allows the body some time to dispose of the mercury, or you can do active chelation afterwards. There are various natural ways to chelate, but I prefer using a medication called DMSA, which is a prescription medication that actually grabs onto mercury and pulls it out of the body. And then you can do that for, you know, a couple of years before you do the pregnancy. You can measure the mercury burden before the amalgam removal and then after, and you can see what's going on. Also, around the time of amalgam removal, you might want to do, you know, something like a vitamin C IV. Or give N-acetylcysteine. These are things that actually may help to facilitate the elimination of the mercury, because you don't want it to just be dislodged from the fillings and then end up in the tissue or end up in the brain. That's not a good situation. I mean, it's tough. I mean, and of course, you go to someone who is expert in mercury amalgam removal, and they have a little bit of a vested interest in doing it for you. They'll tell you that, you know, we'll do it safely, we'll do it the right way. But when pregnancy is an issue, I'm not so sure. I might advise her, pregnancy is going to happen within less than a year, that you might just lead sleeping dogs lie, so to speak, with the mercury, but do the right thing with the right kind of nutritional support to exercise some prevention over the autistic situation there. Maybe do, you know, some more genetic analysis, get the right kind of nutritional support, because this is a big deal.
Yeah, it's a big deal. Okay, so if it was your child, you would say, well, you should wait, you know. If you want another baby, go ahead, but wait until after everything's over and you're done having children, and then do it.
And this is actually one of the reasons why, if somebody comes in and they say, okay, I'm going to get pregnant like in 3 months and I want you to give me a full workup, I might even test them for mercury. And the reason being is because they're really intent on getting pregnant in 3 months, and I show them that they got a lot of mercury. That's just going to freak them out unnecessarily, and we're not going to be able to do that much about it. I know that that's a controversial stand, but, you know, it really can create a lot of undue anxiety. And there's not much you can do right before the time of conception to assure that there's less mercury. I'm sure we'll hear from integrative dentists about this subject in the future. Maybe we'll do a program on that subject. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 888-302-3684 as we go into our second hour, and invite you to phone calls. We got lots more to talk about. We're going to talk Super Bowl, Zika virus, all that and more next hour.